الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. We will initiate the 20th juz today, inshallah. So the first page actually talks a lot about who's better, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or all these false partners that they associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a recurring structure here, Ilahumma Allah. Is there any God along with Allah? I mean, who is there besides Allah who creates the universe? And he's the one who sends the rain, and he brings out vegetation, and he made the earth and the rivers that flow in the earth, and he put mountains to stabilize the earth, and he answers the dua of the person who is in utter desperation and removes difficulty from them, and he sends the wind, and he guides in the darkness both in land and sea. He initiated the creation. He will resurrect them. He knows the unseen. These partners that they make with them, they do none of this. So how can there be a God along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Despite this, the people who disbelieve deny resurrection, and they don't get how you can be dust and that you will go from dust to become a human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and look at what happened to the criminals before you, and maybe the punishment that you're asking for, because you know, they would say, pretty much, bring it on. Maybe the punishment that you're asking for is close. And then we're told how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the unseen and the things which are hidden and the things which are open. And he clarifies, you know, through this knowledge, he sends us wahi. And that wahi clarifies matters of dispute, difficult theological problems that they could not solve for the children of Israel. But unfortunately, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot make someone who's blind, he cannot make them see. But they will see. Certainly when the beast comes out before Qiyamah. And on that day of Qiyamah, they will be gathered and they'll be questioned and will be utterly speechless. There's nothing to say. And when the trumpet is blown, people will come and they will come humbly. And the mountains that we thought are stationary will become like clouds. And on that day, it's really just going to be a story of good deeds versus bad deeds. Good deeds, those people will be safe. And the people who did bad deeds, they will be in the fire. And then Rasulullah is just reminded about what his job is. That is just to worship Allah. And he recites the Quran. He gives the message. And then people will respond as they will. And if a person is guided, then it's good for them. After that, we begin Surah Al-Qasas. This surah begins with the story of Musa alayhi salam. And it goes into a lot more, quite a bit of detail. It talks about how Pharaoh was very high-handed in the land and how he used to persecute the people. And at one point, he was afraid that there would be someone who would arise who would overthrow him. And so he had issued an ordinance to kill all the male children. And so it was, I mean, not just genocide. It was like widespread infanticide. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bestow favor upon the weak people. I mean, the Bani Israel, the Israelites were the weak people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bring them into power and turn the tables. And so this is how it happened, that the story begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing to Musa alayhi's mother to put him in the river. And he promises her that he will return Musa alayhi salam to her. And you just have to have faith. And the reason that she was to put him in the river is because obviously they were finding every male child and killing the child. So then the family of Pharaoh, they pick up the child, and little do they know that this is going to be the very person that will bring them down later. And Asiya alayhi salam, his wife, she wanted to adopt him and make him a son, but he wanted to kill Musa alayhi salam. In any case, he sort of deferred to Asiya alayhi salam. And the mother of Musa alayhi salam was intensely grieved. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Musa alayhi salam would not suckle from anyone. And so his sister was falling from behind. So she made the suggestion. She says, I know someone who can, you know, take care of him. And so then he got reunited with his mother, and she took care of him. So it's amazing. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his promise true. Then when he grows older, he saw two people fighting. One was an Israelite and one was a Coptic Egyptian. And so he helped the Israelite, who was from his people, and he ended up punching the Coptic person. which was a deathly blow. So the Coptic person passed away. So after that, he was, you know, really scared. He was laying low because he didn't know, you know, what's going to happen. And then he sees the same person, and he's fighting with another Coptic. So, you know, Musa alayhi salam, he says, "Innaka laghawiyyun mubeen." And then he went towards him, and he actually thought that Musa alayhi salam was going to hit him. So he says, "Are you going to kill me the same way that you killed the other person yesterday?" And so when he said that, no one knew except for this Israelite and Musa alayhi salam what had happened. So when he said that, the other Coptic person he heard, he went and related to the Pharaoh, and then basically they sent out a warrant to get him. And so Musa alayhi salam was actually warned by a man that, you know, they're coming to get him. So a person came and, you know, he tipped him off that they're coming to get you. So he absconded and he went to Madian. And over there, when he went there, he saw two women. They were waiting to water their flock. So Musa alayhi salam helps them. And he makes, you know, the epic dua, the famous dua, "Ya Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir." And so not very long afterwards, or, you know, after that, one of the two women, she actually comes to him al-istihya with a full of, you know, full of haya. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that, you know, she would come drawing the cloth over her face. And she basically told him that their father was old, so he couldn't do the work. That's why they were doing it. She says he basically wants to reward you. So he comes to the father, and Musa alayhi salam tells him the whole story. Then, you know, he tells him, "Don't worry." And the daughter makes a suggestion that, you know, this is an amazing person to hire. So the father basically marries his daughter to Musa alayhi salam on the condition that he serves for 8 years. But if he serves them for 10 years, then it would be an extra 2 years that would be a favor. So Musa alayhi salam does end up staying for 10 years. And after that, he actually takes his family on a journey because he just missed his homeland. And he missed seeing his people. So he wanted to go secretly underneath the Pharaoh's nose with his family and go and visit and come back maybe. And so when he went there, on the way he saw a fire, and he thought that he would bring some embers to keep his family warm in their camp. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him, and he got the miracle Allah, that indeed I am Allah. And then he got the miracles of the staff and the glowing hand. And then he asked for, when he was being sent to Fir'aun, he asked for Harun alayhi salam to help him. Because he was eloquent. And so then he follows instructions and he goes to the Pharaoh. And how does the Pharaoh respond? He says, "Oh, this is magic, and this is something I've never heard of before." And he actually says to his courtiers that, "Look, I don't know about any god except for me." And he tells, you know, Haman, he's like, "Make me a tower, so I can go and see who this is, Moses' God, waliyazabillah." So he was really arrogant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. And after that, Musa alayhi salam was given the Torah. And then we're told that, you know, Rasulullah alayhi salam wasn't there when all these past events occurred. He wasn't there when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him by Mount Tur. He wasn't there in Madian when Shu'aib alayhi salam was there. So how could, you know, all these stories that in such explicit detail? And the only people who can really appreciate that are people, not only people, one of the people who could really appreciate that were scholars of the other religions who were steeped in these historical stories. And, you know, if you have difficulties that you need to resolve, all of those got resolved, you know, with the Quran. So, I mean, that's one of the proofs in the Quran as well, is that there's no contradiction in it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how these people are never happy. You know, if a punishment came to them, they would make the argument, "Oh, why didn't you send us a messenger first?" But when you send a messenger, they say, why isn't this messenger bring something like Moses brought, meaning, I mean, he had those 10 signs and he had the staff and he parted the Red Sea. So why can't Rasulullah do that as well? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question that how did the people of Musa alayhi salam react? Did they accept him? You know, how did the people of the Pharaoh react? And the reason that these people don't respond to the Prophet alayhi salam is because they actually follow their desires. But not everyone. There's other people who do accept the message, and these were people who were pure before. They followed the true religion. They worshipped Allah, and when they saw this message, they accepted it. So they will actually have double reward, right? And then the Quran talks about their good characteristics. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that you cannot guide whom you will. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. And that's a very key principle, that guidance is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. Now, one reason that people don't accept the call is that they're afraid of other people. They say, you know, if we accept this, then other people are going to turn against us, and they're going to harm us, and they're going to wage war against us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the haram a sanctuary for you? And if he could make a sanctuary for you while you're doing shirk, do you think it won't be a sanctuary if you bring iman? And he reminds them how many nations were wiped out before, and none of them until a messenger was sent. And then he asks the question that, are the people equal, the one who finds the promise of Allah to be true and the luxury of the akhirah, as opposed to the person who lives it up here in this world, but then he has a bad end when he comes to the hereafter. And when people come to the hereafter, they'll be asked, where are these partners? And that's the day where everything is going to be crystal clear. The shayateen, they're going to talk about, they're going to admit that they, not only they themselves were astray, but they led other people astray. People are going to ask, how did they respond to the messenger? But they will be muddled and confounded. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about himself, about his how he created, how he is one, how he knows everything. And what if he made it to be night forever? Or what if he made it to be day forever? Who could, if it was night forever, who could bring the day? And if it was day forever, who could bring the night? Meaning the only person who has ultimate power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they, these people who worship other than Allah, they're going to be asked to bring their co-gods. And they'll be asked to bring their proof. And obviously there's no proof for that. Then we're told about the story about Qarun, who was actually from the people of Musa. And you could basically say he was like a person who had it all. He actually had so much that you couldn't even lift the keys to his treasures. And the righteous people from, you know, used to tell him to seek Allah and not to make fasad and chaos and trouble. But the his attitude, he didn't see his gifts as coming from Allah. He said, I got this because of my own knowledge, because I'm awesome, because, you know, I am, this is all from me. And when people saw him coming out in his, you know, shan, and in his glory, people were amazed, and they said, no, oh, I wish we had what he had. You know, like people driving by in a Ferrari, like, oh man, I wish I had that. So that they had this desire. But there's others who weren't moved by, and the people who were moved by this were the people who had an attachment to the dunya. But there was others who said the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better. And what ended up happening to Qarun, the earth swallowed him up. There was no one to help him. And the people who wanted to be in his place the day before, then they saw the reality of matters. And the reality is, the akhirah is not for the arrogant. And whoever, it's about, it's not based on what you think about yourself, it's based on what you bring. And if a person brings a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, could increase that. And if a person brings a bad deed, he will only be recompensed equally. It's basically about how you lived your life. And then we're lastly told in the surah how Rasulullah wasn't expecting the Quran to come. And so it's not like he was going to make it up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just revealed it to him. And he's told not to help the kuffar and don't let them stop you from doing the right thing. And make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because kullu shayin halikun illa wa shay. Everything is going to be destroyed except for Allah. If he's never going to go away, then you can always count on him. Then we start Surah Al-Ankabut. And this surah starts by saying that, letting us know that if you're going to be a believer, you're going to get tested. And if we strive, then it's for our own good. We're told to be good to our parents unless they take us to the disobedience of Allah. Because the general principle is there's no obedience to creation when it entails disobedience to the Creator. Then we're told that there are those who say that they believe, but if they face difficulty in the way of Islam, then they leave it. And these are basically munafiqeen. But if something good comes, then they say, oh, like, we're with you all along. Then we're told about how the kuffar try to lead the people astray. And they say, oh, why don't you just follow our way? And we'll take care of your sins. Don't worry, we'll and there's nothing doing. Because in the akhirah, that not only will they have to carry their sins, but they will also have to carry other people's sins, in the sins of the people that they had misguided. And then we're told about Nuh alayhi salam, how he stayed with his people for 950 years and the flood took him, but he was saved. And how Ibrahim alayhi salam gave da'wah and showed the illogicality of what they were worshipping. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like, look, if they reject you, this is nothing new. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated creation and he can return it. And we're also asked to look at the signs in the universe. That, you know, if there's a creation, then there must be a creator. But, you know, these people who were with Ibrahim alayhi salam, instead of responding to logic, instead of coming to the straight way, they responded by saying, kill him, burn him. And he said, look, you're only joined and you're only in unison here. But in the akhirah, you guys are going to turn against each other. You're going to be cursing each other in the hereafter. And so these people didn't follow Ibrahim alayhi salam, but Lut alayhi salam did. And so then we're told about Lut alayhi salam and his story. And his people, they basically said, why don't you just bring this punishment that you're talking about? So what happened? The angels came to Ibrahim and they said that we're actually not coming to your nation. We're actually being sent to Lut alayhi salam. And when they came to Lut alayhi salam, then they said, don't be afraid. You're going to be saved, but not your wife. And then we're told about Shu'aib alayhi salam, who told his people not to make mischief and how they got seized by an earthquake. And then just reminded about all those other nations. Look at Ad, look at Thamud, look at the Pharaoh, look at the Qarun. All of them were destroyed. Some of them with wind, some of them with the awful cry. Some of them were sunk into the earth. Some of them were drowned. And then finishes off by giving the parable that those who take patrons other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like taking to a spider's house. I mean, a spider's house is the frailest of all constructions. So the people who try to take hold of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can neither help nor harm, that can neither benefit nor inflict any type of consequence on any person, it's complete. وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. I mean, just have some sense. Why would you do that? We should just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.